Glad to be back with you. This is Bishop Todd, and so glad to be able to talk to you today. Gospel for the glory of Jesus. I'm so happy to be here with you. And we want to look at some things that happen to us on a daily basis that is sometimes we take for granted that our life in this world is, when we wake up, we think, oh, it's going to be a wonderful day. Everything's going to go great. Everything's going to be just wonderful. And I was talking to a brother today. I said, you know what? That's the wrong way to approach life, because life is warfare. And you need to look at life like this. God, thank you for today. I appreciate you waking me up. But help me to continue to expect the best, but be prepared for the worst. And I need you. And I need you to help me to be aware of all the things that are going on around me, to walk circumspectly, but while doing that, to trust in you, to follow you wherever you lead. And I thank him for that kind of attitude. That's a warrior-like attitude that we have to have. In the military, they say you have to know your enemy. And one of the things, one of the enemies that I'm talking about today is, it's a little enemy that we don't think about often, but it's that little word called doubt. The little word called doubt. It's a little word, but it's a big word, because it does cause some problems. And I heard Chuck Missler say that that doubt is the beginning of spiritual warfare, because the battlefield is in your mind. Wow. All the most of the problems that we deal with when dealing with the devil, which is Satan, and demons, is in our minds. And it's based on what we see, hear. Sometimes what you put in your mouth can cause a problem. And always what you feel and your emotions. These things can cause doubt, and that's the beginning of that strategy to bring you down. Let's look at some of those things, and we're going to just try to elaborate on them real quick, because my time will get away from me if I get to try to preach too much. So we're going to try to expose the scriptures, first of all. And one of the people that we have in the Word of God that God put there for all of us doubters was Thomas. They even call him Doubting Thomas. But in John chapter 20, talks about a confrontation between John and Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. Christos, Christ means anointed one, anointed with oil to shine. He's not dry. You need oil. You need a little oil sometimes. But we want to look at his confrontation with Christ. And let's look at it starting at verse 19. It says, in chapter 20 of St. John, it says, and this is King James. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the days were shut where the disciples were assembled, for the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Let me read it from Good News, verse 19. It says, it was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. That's the police, y'all. We know about them, right? Then Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you, he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Shalom is what he said. That's the word. As the Father sent me, so I send you. 22. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Wow, what power Jesus gave at that time, the meeting with the disciples, all gathered, afraid of the police coming to get them. The Jewish authorities were coming to get them. But yet, Christ was able to infiltrate their environment, their place of hiding by just appearing in the midst, coming through the walls now. That means he's got a new body and a new mind. He's already retrofitted. And our new mind and new body are waiting for his return. So it's the way we're going to be able to have that kind of power. But until then, we got to deal with Weight Watchers. But anyway, but here he's talking about being filled with his joy. And they were filled with his joy when they saw him. But there was a person who wasn't there. And that person was Thomas. Now, let's continue to read. And I'm going to read from the Good News this time. It says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, or sometimes they call him Dudamus, was not with them when Jesus came. 25, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. It was an exclamation point. I'm kind of dramatically interpreting the scripture for you. Thomas said to them, unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, not on his side, y'all. Gonna put his hand inside his side. I will not believe. Wow. The spirit of unbelief is the only sin that can send anybody to hell, brothers and sisters. Not anything else. Not blasphemy. And that blasphemy really is your unbelief. That's when the Lord tells you the truth, when God tells you a truth, or somebody tells you a truth, and you say it's a lie, you didn't call God a lie. You crazy. Because God cannot lie, says in Titus 1:2. God cannot lie. Jesus never told a lie. If he had told a lie, he'd been a sinner, and therefore unworthy to be the sacrificial lamb that had the blood that cleansed us all from all sin. Then it says here, verse 26, a week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them this time, is what it said. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them, like he did last time, came in the midst, came through the walls, and said, peace be with you. 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe. Exclamation point. Jesus was not one of those people that always spoke with a soft voice the way they want to make him sound on some of these biblical movies. He shouted at Thomas. In other words, stop your doubting. Stop your doubting, Thomas. God on earth took this man's human hand and put it inside his body. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable. He'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He'd been with him 3.5 years. He'd seen Jesus in all kinds of situations. On the boat, with the crowds, with sick people all day long, preaching for 2 or 3 days. And yet, he still had to be convinced by putting his hands. And Jesus knew that, because he knows the minds of men. He knows your mind. He knows whether you're listening or not, or if you more concentrate on eating your breakfast. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. This is where it begins, the warfare for your mind by Satan. He did it with Eve. He did it with our mama, our original mama. It says she's the mother of all living. On this earth, she's the mother of all living. Eve is. That's what Adam said. Put doubt in her mind. Today you shall not surely die, is what that cool, slick, serpentine person said to her. when God had already told her, the day that you eat of this fruit of this tree, you shall surely die. But Satan convinced her by putting that little specter of doubt in her mind enough to make her slip up and eat that slice of watermelon. And I mean that whatever it was. Pomegranate is what we really believe it was, not an apple. Pomegranate is associated with long life. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Don't hold me to it, but do your research. And she ate of it. And that doubt was enough to cause all of mankind. Well, once Adam did, because she was under his tutelage. Lord have mercy. He looked at her and said, wow, my baby messed up. I can't live life without her. Let me go on and eat this. Now, this is the dramatization of Todd, okay, y'all? So don't beat me up now. Don't send no letters, cards. But you know what? He loved that woman. He loved her. Now, I don't think he was passive. I don't think that was it at all. I just think he was. He just wanted what she had, and evidently the way she looked after she ate from that tree, it had to have a significant influence on him. There was something about her that changed immediately. Because later on he told Jesus, who was waiting for that little evening walk, waiting for him to talk with him. He asked, Adam, where art thou? He said, Lord, I didn't know. He said, we're hiding from you because we were naked. And he said, of course, God, it was rhetorical. Who told you were naked? And he said, when we ate of the tree, he realized then he had blown it. And like a lot of folk, he was in denial. That woman you gave me, oh Lord, have mercy. And that's been the problem ever since. We've been fussing. But one of the things that we want to understand about this thing called doubt is that it starts an itch in your mind that you can't scratch sometimes. And once you start to scratching it, it leads to another area. Chuck Missler, he kind of named like four different problem steps that you go through in this war that you have with evil. You know that every day you're going to be, evil's always hiding and to try to trip you up, brothers and sisters. Cause animosity between you and your family, spouse, all kind of things that happen on your way to going through your day. He said it's enough trouble for the day, so don't be worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not a promise to anybody. So here we have doubt being the first thing, and doubt causes you to stop and say, wow, is that true or not? I thought that was true. I'm going to have to think about it. Wow. When something is true, it is realized. Truth is reality. Truth is when you know in your knower, it's your soul. When you know that you know that you know that that is what is right. Truth destroys doubt. Reality destroys doubt. And that's who Christ is. He's the ultimate reality. See, truth is more than just a principle or a statement that agrees with facts, either whether they are natural or spiritual. Truth has to rely upon an icon or a person. And that's what happened with Pilate. He asked Jesus, because his wife said, don't mess with him. Leave him alone. But when he was dealing with Christ, when Jesus was there, and he told Jesus, don't you know that I can determine whether you live or die? And he said, man, you can't do nothing to me unless I allow it to happen. I got 12,000 legion of angels waiting. You know, he has no power. He thought, that's the problem. He thought Jesus was powerless. He was wondering what kind of kingdom he had. He said, where's your kingdom, man? And he said, so he asked him a question. And that's what powerful people do when they are confused and confronted by an anomaly like Christ, and that throws their whole way of thinking out of into a quandary, into a storm. That brought on confusion. And that's the first thing that happens after that. When you confront truth and you're trying to, and you have doubt, it brings about that next step. You get confused. And he was, and Pilate definitely had to be confused, because he was supposed to be a man of decision and a man of knowing and understanding. He was a politician and a governor. But here he was confused by the truth. And isn't that the problem right with us right now? Our whole world is confused by this man from Galilee, a carpenter. They're still confused about him because he said, and he really said it eventually, that he's the Son of God. And if you believe it on him, you not perish. You have everlasting life. Okay. Well, you can go from doubt to confusion. And you're wrestling with that doubt. And the next thing you know, you're in a situation where you're deluded. This delusion comes on because you get to the point where you believe your lie so much that you've imagined, that's been brought on by a vain imagination as well, is what the word talks about. All this taking place in your head is images, and this magic that takes place in your brain that Satan does. That's what he likes to do. He conjures up images and thoughts, and because you believe, your ego will not allow you to face the truth about some things, even about yourself. That's the problem. A lot of times we are self-deluded. We don't want to even believe the truth about ourselves, and that's a real warfare. But that's the problem that we really have to face when we don't accept the truth about who Christ is. If you don't accept the truth about who Jesus is, you are in a state of delusion. You don't understand, and people get mad when you say that Jesus is the only way. They're trying to get it so the churches can't even preach that Jesus is the only way to salvation. They believe, they're saying that makes other religions feel like they're, it makes you feel that you have a superior point of view, worldview, or you're dealing with religion, and you can't be a part of their group if your God is the only God. That's true. You can't play in the party. So they're trying to make it so that you can't even say that Jesus is the only way. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. They've been trying to get it so that you can't even say Jesus on the radio. I mean, wow. If that's the case, then I probably won't be on there, because I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because
I love him, and I'm not ashamed of his name, because I don't want to go to heaven. And he say, Father, he was ashamed of me on earth. He wouldn't even say my name. And I'm saying I'm ashamed of him. I was like, ooh, don't want to hear it. So I hope if you're in that situation, if you, people are asking about your lifestyle, if you're a Christian or not, whether you really love the Lord, bam, you best fess up and know that Jesus is the eternal truth. And he's got the final authority on you and your life, whether it be for now or for eternity. So you got doubt, number one. That's one of the things that goes into this war that we have. Then you got confusion. Then you got delusion. You become delusional. You start walking around with a vain imagination that what you believe is the truth over the truth. Your truth is more truthful than the truth. And then number four. See, once this delusion, this false teaching gets to you and rouses you up and gets you upset, you got destruction. That's the final step. Destroys your relationship, your fellowship, even your life, if you allow that step to come to play. And that's why false teachers, false preachers are so dangerous, because they can plant seeds of doubt And seeds of doubt is one of the most destructive things that we have to deal with today. So my time is up. But look at this. It says 26, and this is King James. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, they came. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut again. I'm repeating this because I want you to understand how Jesus came in the midst. And right there was enough to be convinced me. Peace be unto you. That would have been enough. Lord, walk through the wall. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough. I ain't got to touch nothing. All right, Lord. I saw you on the cross. I know you died. I saw what they did to you. No. But the Lord said, I'm going to convince you. He had to be convinced by God that he was who he was. Wow. Unbelievable. Now, look at this. And this is what you need to hear. 28. Because 27 says he wants you, don't be faithless. I don't want you to be faithless, but believing. 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. 29. Jesus says that he always gets the last word. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And then it says later on here in verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. 31. But these were written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And it's sad that still with this word right here, so descriptive. Let me show you in Matthew, the last chapter. Look at this. And we're through. Matthew, the last chapter, tells us something. And it scares me. These verses right here, 28:16-17, it says this. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. It's after they had been with Christ for a while. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But, it's that little bitty word that's so big, but some doubted. So that's it. The war continues. Some are still doubting. Some are sitting in church doubting. Some of you are doubting. And I'm going to get off this telephone or off this radio. Take that out, telephone. Take that down, not on the telephone. And let you know that, hey, this means war when you got doubt in your heart. Don't allow it to happen. Don't let doubt be in your mind. Be convinced that Jesus is Lord. God bless you, and I love you with agape love. Till next time, shalom.
Thank you, sir. 23, huh?